go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Some are born to morans. Others have morans thrust upon them. It was a thrusty kind of moran Monday for me, I can assure you. It is our little old home. And it's been a long day. I mean, I just potted up the mic and it's already been a long day. Don't worry, you're not part of the long day. The morans are part of the long day. Like I said, headonradionetwork.com is our home. That's where you'll find the Listen Live button. That is where you will find access to the chat room, to which we all heartily invite you. It's good fun, the chat room is. Okay, so the computer's not happy or healthy. Chat room filling up. Well, I mean, it's not really filling up. It never gets full. It can't get full. But good evening to Jug of Punch and Anthropogene and Lottie and Mr. Gibson and Sparky. Hi, gang. Welcome along. Wasn't Dr. Bill just spectacular? Brought out the axe handle again. And you're not going to find a better deconstruction of that flim-flam artist, that anti-American, that treasonous bastard, Mark Levin, than what you just got. And see, Dr. Bill is so much nicer about it than I. But that's what that guy is, and he just got peeled like a grape, Mark Levin, the man with a voice made for print, did. It was something. So anyway, pop on into the chat room. The discussion is already well underway. Lottie noting, morans by land, morans by sea, and I on an alternate continent will be. Yeah. Run away! Right. By the way, also at headonradionetwork.com, you will find the PayPal button, as well as the traditional overland mail address. Either of which can be used to help keep this little effort running. We continue to pay bills. We pay bills, well, every opportunity we get here. A bunch of bills went out on Saturday. We are close enough, I guess, to even. Thanks to Tony for taking care of a third of tonight's fundraising. That means we've got $100 to raise. 10 folks, $10 apiece. Two at 50. One at 75 and one at 25, three at $33.33, four at 25, five at 20. There are a myriad ways of getting there. We just need to make sure that we do, in fact, get there. So $100 is the goal tonight, and I hope it's reachable because it's a lot easier to just stay above ground than it is to keep trying to climb back up out of the hole. Over the course of the week. So if you haven't helped out lately and you're able to, that's the important part, and you are able to, please do so. That's how we manage to keep going. The telephone system is still screwed up. The calls go out, but they can't come in. So there you have that. Lord, but there we are with that. The only is via email, via Twitter, participation in the chat room, and, of course, the Skype line. The Skype line works like gangbusters, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, is how you reach the program telephonically here in the 21st century. So, yeah, there's that. Program announcement, no show on Friday. On Friday, we will be traveling over to see my baby daughter be a homecoming princess. So, I'm looking forward to that. Awfully special, the doodle is. I would be remiss in... How do you have a federal holiday when the federal government is shut down? Anybody? Bueller? Help, please? No, because I can't make that work. But it is. It's some sort of a federal holiday, and the bank's closed and so forth, which means that... Well, it's Columbus Day. Please, please, pretty please, with sugar on it, can we get rid of this odious anniversary? Please. What's to celebrate? I'm pretty sure my buddies up on the Bad River Reservation in northern Wisconsin are not celebrating today. This is the 600th anniversary of the beginning of one of the worst genocides the planet has ever known. Maybe we'll take a moment here and just remember. Just remember what a paradise the Western Hemisphere was before the white people got here and screwed it all up. Ferg and I were engaging in some of that speculative what-if history, and he's gotten old enough to want his own time machine like his old man does. Dad, if you could build a time machine, what would you do? Where would you go? You can only go one place, Dad. Where would you go? And I said, that's easy. I'd go to Tenochtitlan in 1480. And I'd make sure that I spoke really, really good Nahuatl. And I'd try to get through to the Uitlatoani, the revered speaker. And I'd say, listen, you're going to have a problem. Really pale, stinky, filthy, dirty, religiously obsessed, creepy people are going to start showing up on your shores. Don't let them touch land. Kill them before they get... Don't even let them get near you. Kill them. Burn their ships. Wait for more. Kill them too. Until they just determine to leave you alone. Yeah, but Dad, after you did... And so then we had to talk about temporal paradoxes and things like that. But you wouldn't be there anymore, Dad. Well, you know, it's the time machine game, son. That for me, there's two of those. Three of them. It's prevent the nation of Jesus. Keep white people from getting a hold. Because, see, that was the only culture, the Mexica culture, the Triple Alliance of that era, who could send out swift runners all over the continent saying, you know, with posters, you know, have you seen these filthy, disease-bearing people? No, not yet. You will. Kill them when you see them. Because there's such... Oh, God. This was the most populous part of the entire planet prior to the arrival of that religiously obsessed, half-insane Italian huckster who conned the Spanish into fronting him three ships because he thought the world was much smaller than it was. All that earth, flat earth stuff is just myth. Yes? But just, ugh. Oh. I woke up today and realized it was Columbus Day and just felt this great sickness in my belly. This was a place, there wasn't much disease here. And probably some of the most brilliant cultures that ever arose on the planet had arisen here. Certainly some of the best mathematicians. and scientists even, with an expressive language, written language, and arguably the most sustainable cultures that have ever arisen, arose here. And they were all wiped out. 20 million or so, or more. Because the Christian white people were afraid Jesus wouldn't like them if they took baths and quit wallowing in their own feces. So when I woke up this morning and realized it was Columbus Day, it kind of put me in a foul mood. Columbus, please. Madman with a taste for genocide. And then it got worse. I got a call on Friday saying that, you know, we had to go over my blood work back from when I had blood work done on Cheap Blood Work Tuesday back in August. So I showed up, and the intake nurse took me in. She intook me. And we got my weight and my blood pressure and my O2 sats and yada, 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 yada. And then we went to sit down and start going over stuff, and my intake nurse decided it was a good time to explain to me what a hell on earth had been unleashed by that Obamacare. And I was gentle. Just gently refuted. And she said, "No, they put people into that Obamacare." No, they're not. Oh, they're not. Well, a friend of mine's going to get fined $500 for not buying Obamacare. No, she's not. No, she's not. The fine is $95, and it's actually less expensive than some of the Obamacare plans, so people can just pay the $95 and not have health insurance. And then she began to explain to me how she resented the fact that people who refused to work would be able to get health care. And just, so they should just die? And she said, no, I believe health care is a right for all people. Which was a totally dichotomous statement. And it kept getting worse because she would not quit. And eventually she, "Well, I'm just going to stop because I know you like that Obama." I said, "I don't like him so much. He's a center-rightist. I want universal single-payer health care. I want to stop having wars. I want to stop drone strikes. I want to do a lot of the things that President Not Sure doesn't seem much interested in doing." And then in a sort of conspiratorial voice, she said, "Well, you know he's a Muslim." And at that point in time, I was about half out of my chair. I was ready to go. I said, but you know, I should know better. This is my fault. I should know better. Don't wallow with a pig in shit. The pig likes it, and you get covered with shit. I mean, just don't. But it was pretty clear that she'd been watching a lot of Fox, and, "Well, I kind of know some other things. It's a small town, and I kind of know some other things, and I think her husband blows up mountains for a living, poisons communities, spreads cancer and heart disease and lung disease and genetic disorders and depression and death around the community, you know, for a paycheck." "Oh, no, Lottie in the chat room saying, Bob, you should have looked at her in the eye with a straight face and said, 'Have you noticed he's black, too?'" No, I brought that up, and she says, "I am not a racist, but he's a Muslim." That's how the Muslim part came up. And I said, "And And no, he's not. But if he was, you think it, I said, you do know that the Constitution contains a provision that says there shall be no religious test for holding office, right? Well, yeah, but it's just not right that he's a Muslim. He's not a Muslim. He went to for 20 years, he went to Jeremiah Christian Church in Chicago. Now, you can, and your side raised all kinds of cane about that. Now, which is it? Is he a radical Christian or a Muslim? Pick one. You can't have both. He's a Muslim. He's a Muslim. No, he's not. And then, and I'm, like I said, it's a Popeil Pocket Fisherman ad of awfulness, but wait, there's more. And somehow she got around to the homosexuals. That is very true, Sparky. Sparky pointing out in the chat room, you know, Muslims don't drink beer, Bob. We've seen him drink beer. Ay, ay, ay. No, but eventually she found her way around to the homosexuals. God, God, God. Yeah.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
And the homosexuals. Well, she got around to the homosexuals. And, you know, those people choose to be that way. And I looked at her and I said, really? Yes, it's a choice. I said, so tell me, when did you choose to be a heterosexual? You know, you wait and you wait for an opportunity to use one of these things, and you can't pass it. And she goes, well, I wasn't. I never chose to be heterosexual. I was born that way. Well, but they're not. They choose to be that way. And it violates God's law. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. This all happened this morning before noon. I won't say that you're lucky or anything, but you're lucky I'm sober. I blew through the front door of the mansion here. And I mean, the spirit was a-moving upon the face of Bob. Honey, get me the tequila and the straw. What, honey, what's wrong? She says. I done had a run-in with the fundies. What happened? And I told her the story. Meanwhile, most of this was, and it all started, by the way. It all started because I made some innocent remark about the fact that they were transferring over to paperless medical records, which I think is probably a good idea insofar as it cuts down on a great deal of paper waste and, you know. Right. Well, we're having to do this because of that Obamacare. He's ruined everything. But what we were finding out was that in the file, the paper, the hard copy file they had of me, which has now grown to a sort of phone book-sized thickness over the course of 13 years, what we're finding out is that a whole bunch of my stuff wasn't in there. You know, we've talked about the fact that I, on this here very program, we've talked about the fact that I am bass-ackwards. It's called a malrotated bowel. We discovered it by accident. And they didn't even have that in the chart. It wasn't in the hard copy chart. And it certainly was. Is, no. So I think I'm going to hit the next tattoo parlor I see and just get malrotated bowel tattooed on both sides of my abdomen, along with, you know, use no hooks, post no bills, this end up, you know. It all, but no, it turns out that my hard copy file is a wreck, and I'm almost non-existent in their paperless record. But then, oh, and this is not Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I've already got a stack for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and I'm not touching it. But then, after she had explained to me that homosexuals choose to be that way, but that she never had to choose to be heterosexual, whew, get a net. And I forget what it was I said, but she said, well, I can show it to you in the Bible where God says it's wrong. God did not create them that way. And at that point in time, I just came unglued. Now, I mean, I didn't scream, I didn't carry on, I didn't stomp my feet or fly to the ceiling or even make any of the funny little noises I'm prone to making on this program. You know, things like, whoop! No. I just said, oh, come on. Really? You're going to rely on a 3,000-year-old book of myths written by people who didn't know why it rained and were confused by wheelbarrows? And I'm not kidding. She scooted back, and all the blood drained out of her face, like she was waiting for the lightning bolt. I think I used the word barbarians in there, too, because I've added that. You're really going to tell me that you're taking your cues from a 3,000-year-old book of myths written by barbarians who were baffled by wheelbarrows and had no idea why it rained? Because they were. They were barbarians. There is not a single individual in the entire Bible that you would probably let walk through your door. I mean, if Abraham got through, he might try to sell you his wife on the premise that, you know, she was his sister.
Oh, yeah, she's my sister, dude. She's my sister.
Moses? That hissy throwing? No. Paul? That dude's liable to start hallucinating right in the middle of dinner. John of Patmos? Bastard would try to eat dinner with his toes. And then there's Yeshua. Maybe you'd let Yeshua sit down to dinner. But, see, that's the thing. Most of the people who worship him don't really get a full handle. But this is not prayer meeting. And I don't limit my remarks to the Bible. I probably would not let my 10 generations back forebears through the door either. But maybe that's just me. But it was a brutal damn beginning of the day. Obama's a Muslim. Oh, God. And after the intake nurse, you know, turned in a huff and left, the physician's assistant walked in, or whatever it is she is. She's not a doctor. And asked me how my blood pressure is. I kept it to myself. But my blood pressure was probably up around, you know, bursting the sphygmomanometer. Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. It's. I hope you never have to go through anything like that. It's just hateful.
And
too much. And the thing is, this bunch, you know, let me check. Are the emails already rolling in? Bob, you need to get a different doctor. No, we haven't gotten that yet. Because this is the only game in town. We ain't got no other doctor's office. So there you go. And all I can do is hold and keep my fingers crossed until January gets here and I get some sort of coverage. And then we'll take care of some things that should have been taken care of. Is there a lesson in this? Well, the more ends you have always with you. Sure. I mean, mercifully, when I walked in the door, the TV wasn't on Fox News. It was on some sort of show about people in prison or doing violent things or something, and Ashley Banfield was narrating. I asked pretty please, could we just put it on the Weather Channel, because everybody can agree with the Weather Channel. I did. Felt like some sort of ward for... can we just watch the Weather Channel? Everybody in the day room can agree about the Weather Channel.
Straighten out that chair.
Imagine this. My chair is straight and all the other chairs are out of order. Now, there's a real mind bender for you, right?
Marty. Yeah, see, we're all... Yeah, it's always ever so much better when we've got time to reflect on it. Marty says, you should have asked if it had been better if President Not Sure were an atheist. I'm sure that... No, he's an atheist, Kenyan, Muslim, socialist, radical Christian with a deep-seated hatred of white people. Did I mention anti-colonialist? He's all of those things. Jack, writing from Shreveport. Podcast award nomination reminders. Tomorrow is the last day, just in case it slipped your mind after your hectic morning. Yes, it is. Tomorrow's the last day for the podcast awards nominations. There is a post up at headonradionetwork.com if you want to do the nominations. If you want to nominate the program, nominate Dr. Bill, nominate this program, it'd be nice. It would indeed. So Morian Monday got off to a personal start today, I guess is the best way to put it. Had my very own Morians, medical Morians. But yeah, and we're Morian poor. Got a stack of them. Steve noting, everyone can agree with the Weather Channel. Really? Aren't these the same people saying global warming is a hoax? They may very well be. But compare that to sitting in a doctor's waiting room watching Fox News or even CNN or Headline News or CNBC or... I mean, hell, even Oprah is not safe anymore. Apparently, Oprah interviewed Diana Nyad. And I don't think we have ever nominated Oprah for a Moran Monday award before today. I could have saved this for Wednesday, but it felt sort of more Moran-ish. Diana Nyad, of course, is the 64-year-old distance swimmer who recently swam without a shark cage from Cuba to Florida. Diana Nyad is also an atheist. Well, Oprah wasn't having none of that atheism. You'll see what I mean. It was Super Soul Sunday.
You told our producers that you're not a God person, that you're a person who's deeply in awe.
Yeah, I'm not a God person, and do I argue against my friends who are, you know, religious, Buddhist, Jews, Christians?
Do you consider yourself atheist?
I'm an atheist, and...
But you're in the awe.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't understand why anybody would find, you know, a contradiction in that.
Diana. You don't understand why anybody would find a contradiction in that? I think you're about to get a lesson. Then again, Carl Sagan was rather of a notorious atheist. And this is, of course, one of my favorite spoken word pieces ever. Let's check in and see if Carl has any awe. You know, there's that old story when they were making the movie, The Greatest Story Ever Told. John Wayne played the centurion at the foot of the cross. And he had one line. The centurion at the foot of the cross just gets one line. And they were shooting the scene, and John Wayne's done up in his Roman centurion duds. And he looks up at Max von Sydow hanging on the tree, and he looks at the camera and he says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Cut! Duke, this is one of the most moving moments from the crucifixion, from the Passion of Christ. Duke, I think we need a little more awe in that. John Wayne, centurion, foot of the cross. Take two. Click. And roll them. Oh, surely this man was the Son of God. Cut! Oh. So let's just check out this little piece from Carl Sagan and see if we can detect any awe.
From this distant vantage point, the Earth might not seem of any particular interest. But for us, it's different. Consider again that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there, on the mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors, so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another, how fervent their hatreds. Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe, are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. Visit? Yes. Settle? Not yet. Like it or not, for the moment, the Earth is where we make our stand. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known.
To live in the hearts, what's that say? To live in the hearts we leave behind is to never die. No all there, is there? When you take that into account, nominating Oprah gets pretty easy, doesn't it? Stupid me, Bob, don't you know she's a liberal? She's the kind of person you need to fund the program. Nah. No. So let's go back and hear our first Moran Monday nominee outside of my little community here.
You told our producers that you're not a God person, that you're a person who's deeply in awe.
Yeah, I'm not a God person, and do I argue against my friends who are, you know, religious, Buddhist, Jews, Christians?
Do you consider yourself atheist?
I'm an atheist.
But you're in the awe.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't understand why anybody would find, you know, a contradiction in that. I can stand at the beach's edge with the most devout Christian, Jew, Buddhist, go on down the line, and weep with the beauty of this universe and be moved by all of humanity. All the billions of people who have lived before us, who have loved and hurt and suffered. So to me, my definition of God is humanity and is the love of humanity. And as we return to,
I don't call you an atheist then. I think if you believe in the awe and the wonder and in the mystery, that is what God is.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Oprah, so much for defining her as a theist. Now maybe Diana Nyad can get some sleep. Jesus. Well, you're not an atheist then. You know, because if Oprah says you're not, well, you're not. Oprah knows.
Okay.
That is what God is.
Well,
God
is not the
bearded guy in the sky.
But it is, Oprah. It is the bearded guy in the sky, the bearded juvenile delinquent smiting people. That's what all the holy books say. This is not Prayer Meeting Wednesday. This is Moran Monday. And, oy, what a moran.
Bearded, but I guess there is an inference with God that there is a presence, there is either a creator or an overseer. I don't criticize anybody because you know what? The definition of life is we will never know. Mm-hmm. We will never know. You know what?
Until that last breath.
Yeah.
No, not even at the last breath, Oprah. F me to pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe it's an oh wow one for it, you know, as it was for Steve Jobs.
Whoa, I...
Oh, wait, what? Maybe it's an oh wow one for you as it was for Steve Jobs. So what, Oprah, are you setting up your next Super Soul Sunday, and whenever Diana Nyad checks out, you're going to be waiting to see if she goes, oh, wow! Big and purple.
Should have been praying all these years. I'm going the wrong way. But for now,
oh,
I don't criticize anybody. People tell me they see ghosts. They see ghosts. People tell me that they remember past lives back to the Middle Ages. They remember them. People see God and feel God, and that's their faith, and I have nothing to say about it. Just for me, I'm an atheist who's in awe.
An atheist in awe. So do you consider yourself a spiritual person?
What is the point of this? Why can't a person just be an atheist? Again, I'm guessing Oprah has never seen that little clip that I just ran about the pale blue dot. It's just absolutely full of awe. But all the way to his last dying breath, Carl Sagan never said, I got it now. Yep, monotheism, that's the thing for me. Pantheism, that's the thing. How about no theism? Morans.
Even as an atheist?
I do. I don't think there's any contradiction in those terms. I think you can be an atheist who doesn't believe in an overarching being who created all of this and sees over it. But there's spirituality, because we human beings and we animals, and maybe even we plants, but certainly the ocean and the moon and the stars, we all live with something that is cherished, and we feel the treasure of it. And
I believe that and feel that so deeply. It's why every time I enter my yard or leave, I say, hello, trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, trees in my multi-million-dollar yard. Hello. Hello, trees. Hello, bushes. Hello. Hello. 20 years I've kept my vow and not said a bloody word. Hello, trees. Hello, rocks. I just love hearing a billionaire explain spirituality. God. Ah, a tweet in from Isaac. Spiritual. Definition. A term popular with goofballs who can't simply say they like nature, but instead have to drag bullshit into the appreciation. You know, I'm the one who said last February, returning from my one and only trip to California, that in Muir Woods I felt something that was more profound than anything I had ever felt in any church. It was magnificent. It was beautiful. It was humbling. I'm humbled around rocks that are billions of years old too. Jesus, the stupid. I never knew that Oprah had such a moron streak. Ugh. Live and learn, huh? But believe you me, that is not the end of the moranity. Steve piping in. John Wayne thought it was, surely, this was the Son of God, while never quite knowing who Shirley was. And, and Jesus, Max von Sydow looks down from the tree and says, don't call me Shirley. Jan and Jerry out in Nevada. Hey, Bob, this is Jan. In my cheap blood clinic, they actually were putting on Jerry Springer in the room I was waiting in. Talk about high blood pressure. I voted no, so they put on Fresh Prince and turned the volume up, and then I was called away. Talk about nuts in the waiting room. I kind of like Fresh Prince. And Kate, who is always very good for reminding me that my broad brush strokes are often flawed. Guess who's coming to dinner is the subject line. Bob, you're wrong. There are a lot of folks from the Bible stories I'd invite in. All those troublemaking whores, those shameless hussies, the sinful ladies, one and all. I had a feeling that's where, yeah, absolutely. They were probably decent company. The publicans, you know, tax farmers, that kind of thing. Sinners. Right. Kate continues, your doc office is not news. They're everywhere. That's why I don't participate in the madness. Someday I may have to back down on my firm stand, but for now I don't have the patience, nor can I keep my mouth shut, especially when the chairs are out of order. my chair's straight and the rest of them are crooked. How's that? Ron and Raleigh noting, with regard to Oprah, she's been talking to you-know-who. Remember, you-know-who, who believes atheism is a religion? Oh, don't remind me, Ron. Ow. It hurts us. But like I said, it's a very busy Moran Monday, because the Morans were very busy over the weekend. For instance, there. Remember, we talked a little bit about the Values Voters Summit. On Friday, Sandy Rios used to run Concerned Women for America. I believe the executive, one of the higher mucky mucks in that organization were, of course, men, because women need to be told what to be concerned about. Sandy Rios got all het up because people were remembering the murder of Matthew Shepard recently. If you've got an anti-emetic around, I'd take it right before I strapped in the tennis ball and duct-taped my arms to the chair for this one. Yeah.
Matthew Shepard was a young gay man who was brutally murdered by two other young men. And the story was that he was they murdered him because he was gay, and he became a martyr for the gay movement. In fact, the hate crimes bill was passed with his name attached to it. Bill Clinton jumped all over this, and the New York Times took it and ran with a story and told us all kinds of things about Matthew Shepard. But probably, in fact, they created a play called The Laramie Project that was shown, it still is, in high schools, even in junior highs across the country.
Okay, a moment just to discuss The Laramie Project, that play. One of the most recent places where that was put on was in the theater department of the University of Mississippi, often referred to simply as Ole Miss. And because theater departments offer an introduction to theater course, and it is generally considered to be rather of a cream puff and an easy C, you get a lot of athletes in it. And then you get extra credit for going to the theater department's plays. It's good for both sides. The quarterback gets an easy C, and the theater department gets warm bodies in seats at production time. And I'm imagining that filling up the auditorium for productions by the University of Mississippi Theater Department is no easy task. So you got an automatic audience that way. And so members of the University of Mississippi football team were for extra credit, required to go and see The Laramie Project when it was recently put up by the University of Mississippi Theater Department. I think we mentioned this. That is when the University of Mississippi football players began hooting and hollering and behaving generally like male chimpanzees and throwing, you know, everything short of flinging poo and screaming things like, faggot! Homosexual! Queer! You know, doing that kind of stuff as they sat there in a play that was not a movie. That had living, breathing people working, strutting and fretting their hour upon the stage, as it were. Laramie Project. Sandy Rios ain't having no Laramie Project.
And the New York Times took it and ran with a story and told us all kinds of things about Matt.
Oh, her hillbilly was slipping out there, wasn't it? The New York Times done told us they run with it. Ran. What? Huh? Tell us again, Sandy.
Bill Clinton jumped all over this, and the New York Times took it and ran with a story and told us all kinds of things about Matthew Shepard. But probably, in fact, they created a play called The Laramie Project that was shown, it still is, in high schools, even in junior highs across the country, the story of Matthew Shepard, except, wait a second, it wasn't true.
No, it wasn't true. Matthew Shepard wasn't crucified on a barbed wire fence in Wyoming. Hell no, that wasn't true. I just took a little break here so you'd have time to finish with the duct tape and the tennis balls.
The story of Matthew Shepard, except, wait a second, it wasn't true. It wasn't true. We know now because a book that just came out last week written by gay author Stephen Jimenez. And by the way, this book was featured in The Advocate, which is arguably the nation's most influential gay publication, featured this book. And now we know the story was a complete fraud. Matthew Shepard was gay. Matthew Shepard was murdered by these two boys, but it was a drug deal gone bad.
Yeah, see, it's... Yeah. Now, you'll notice the language she used. A... complete fraud. Complete fraud. And then she says, well, he was gay and he was murdered, but it was a drug deal gone bad. I don't think that's the definition of complete fraud. Sandy Rios. So, you get an idea of what we're up against this evening. Atheism is a religion. Oh, my God. Oh, my me. But it was a busy time at the Voters Value Voters Summit. They invited Star Parker along. And Star is a frontline soldier in the culture wars, I guess.
They say that if you Christians would just get with the program, rap a little, smoke a little pot, take off your clothes in front of total strangers a little, give up your guns, give up your God and your disapproval of gays, and of course, if you would just put some really liberal Republican candidates up for statewide and national seats, then maybe, just maybe, the national comedians will stop mocking you and the national news will just ignore you instead of try to destroy you. Oh, the lies of the left. I have to call them enemies of God, progressives, liberals. They keep changing their names so that they can try to disguise the damage that they're doing to this country. But we're going to expose them at this Value Voter Summit. They declared a war on marriage, which weakened women and opened a door to this new culture of meaninglessness. Homosexuality is now dividing us and bringing hostility into the public square.
Really? Hostility? Oh, let it roll, Bob.
All sexual behavior is adult behavior, in my opinion, so keep it private.
Did you catch all that? I'm especially sort of flummoxed by the take off your clothes in front of total strangers a little part. Oh, Marty. Question from Marty. This is a black woman by any chance? Well, yeah. That's not part of my calculus here. All I see is Moran. But really, can we go back to take off your clothes in front of total strangers a little bit? Isn't that sort of like Sandy Rios and her complete fraud? Total fraud, what was it? I'm trying to forget already. How? How do you do that? Anybody? And I realize we're limited to the Skype line, but if you want to use the Skype line, Bob Kincaid Horn is how you do it. Email works too, or you can tweet, or Facebook, or, yeah. But I really do need to know how you take off your clothes in front of total strangers a little bit. So I pull off my cowboy boot in front of a total stranger and, woohoo, liberal! End of the culture. Sexual deviance. Take off your clothes in front of total strangers a little. Give up your guns, give up your God and your disapproval of gays. And she ends by saying, keep it private. How about you keep your bigotry private, Star Parker? How about you keep your homophobia private, Star Parker? Close the door to your weird little house with your weird little family in your weird little community or your weird little church and hate, 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 hate till you can't hate no more. But, you know, Star Parker, keep it private. And did you notice what we are now? We are enemies of God. You know, it's really not far from there to the guillotine, is it? There are Freudian slip shows every now and then, and you see just where they'd like to go. Enemies of God. Line them up, shoot them down. Line them up, hang them up. Line them up, guillotine them. Line them up, gig them like a frog, because they're enemies of God. You know the handy thing about being an enemy of God? When you're an enemy, when somebody else can declare you to be an enemy of God, it's really handy that God's invisible, can't be found, can't be seen, can't be inquired of as to whether or not you really are. You just have to trust them before they kill you. These, by the way, are the folks that we are supposed to be negotiating with to save our form of government. Yeah, really? Enemies of God. And there, lo and behold, was Bro Fromix, Rick Santorum, to sort of take the metaphor to its illogical conclusion. Tell us about it, Bro Fromix.
The French Revolution was based on equality, liberty, and fraternity.
You know, like the cop of cigs. I was a cop of cig, you know. We drank a lot of beer.
Not paternity. They were
Wait, what? Are we back to the argument that a glass of beer is not a paper towel again? Liberté, égalité, fraternité. Oui, oui. Liberty, equality, brotherhood. I guess in a more enlightened culture, we could say siblinghood. But for bro-fro-mix, groper of fetal corpses. Okay, we got to get through this.
The French Revolution was based on equality, liberty, and fraternity, not paternity. They were based on rights coming from the people, your brothers, not from God. It was an anti-clerical, anti-God revolution. They burned churches. They killed clergy. And they established a secular government that turned into mob rule and then an emperor who conquered Europe and institutionalized the French revolutionary status secular rule in Europe. That is who they want us to be. And you see it.
How stupid. And I realize I ask this at some peril, for they will show me again. How stupid can one individual be? You heard that argument, right? That it was a godless revolution because people starving in the streets, which had a lot to do with it, and the refusal of the 1% class of feudal France to pay anything resembling their fair share in taxation led to the French Revolution. But in addition to that, something else led to the French Revolution. And it's a little something. And he only trots it out when it means, well, there was Dr. Bill with the axe handle again at the end of the program. Right-wingers like to turn to the framers when turning to the framers and the founders is convenient to them, but they pretend they didn't exist when it's not. This is a perfect example of that. Because something else, and particularly someone else, had a hell of a lot to do with the fact that there was a French Revolution. The something else begins when in the course of human events, and it includes phrases like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and then contains a list of grievances with a certain monarch, and then concludes by saying, we got the right to not be ruled by this guy. The Declaration of Independence had a profound impact on the French Revolution. The French Revolution isn't becoming us. We became the French Revolution. And I said there was a certain someone involved there as well. There were actually two someone. But the particular someone I have in mind is none other than Thomas Jefferson, who, during the drafting of the Constitution, was busy in France, and I suspect that that is by no accident. And he was over there talking about that liberty business. Isn't it interesting that bro-fro-mix has a problem with liberty and equality and the siblinghood of humankind? Before we forget what this freak was even saying, do let's go back.
The French Revolution was based on equality, liberty, and fraternity, not paternity.
Or sorority.
They were based on rights coming from the people, your brothers, not from God. It was an anti-clerical, anti-God revolution. They burned churches. They killed clergy. And they established a secular government that turned into mob rule and then an emperor who conquered Europe and institutionalized the French revolutionary statist secular rule in Europe.
Statist secular rule. By the way, keep an eye out for that one. That's a big word among these freaks these days. Statists. See, if you believe in popular government, if you believe in crazy notions like we the people, the right wing now likes to call you a statist. By the way, it goes without saying, probably, that Rick Santorum is one of those weirdo Roman Catholics. I'm not saying Roman Catholics are weirdos. I'm saying there is a subgroup of Roman Catholics who are really freaking weirdos. Rick Santorum is one of those. He's still pissed off about Vatican II. He's still pissed off that everything's not delivered in Latin. He's still pissed. And he's mad about the French Revolution. Because the starving, beaten down, oppressed, downtrodden masses of the French peasantry didn't sit there like the good kicked dogs the church wanted them to be, and continued to do the bidding. Remember, one of the groups that didn't want to pay taxes in pre-revolutionary France was the church. The church was one of the estates. There were, you know, several estates. And the church was one of them. And they had massive land holdings. And they had serfs, well, not serfs, but peasants, who had to work at the sufferance of the church on those land holdings. And that was... And isn't it interesting that these people who are always forever going on about liberty and freedom... That Rick Santorum can't tolerate it if it is actually liberty and freedom of an oppressive religious institution? Is this dumb bastard arguing that the church in pre-revolutionary France wasn't oppressive? Because you cannot credibly make that argument. I don't think there's anybody out there that will say that the French version of the Roman Catholic Church was... Simon Simple and Simon Pure and Lily White and free of sin in terms of the things that led up to the French Revolution. But that doesn't matter. All that matters to Bro Fromix is the weird corkscrew turnings of the strange little worms that inhabit that thin gray slosh that floats around between his ears and passes for a brain.
That is who they want us to be. And you see it. You see it in the things they do even now. They're subtle, they're little, they don't even hit on most people's radar screens. But look at Obamacare.
And you just knew, didn't you? You just knew we were going straight to Obamacare. I'm glad to know I'm not the only one whose mind works like this. Robert in Australia, subject line, Python attack. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. I mean, you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you. I mean, what if I went around saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bink had lugged a scimitar at me? They'd put me away. Shut up! Thank you for reminding me of that, Robert. Jack noting from Shreveport, statist is a word that Mark Levin, the man with the voice made for print, first used as a substitute or synonym for progressive as far as right-wing radio goes in recent years, as far as I know. As far as it has been used historically, I don't know. No, it's a fairly recent vintage, I do believe. Backing up a little bit, Marty notes, regarding Star Parker, remember what I said about there being no bigger bigot in this universe than a black Christian? There, that. Thanks, Marty. Let's see, Kevin noting, what if you call us instead of us calling you? Since you can call out of the phones, but we can't call in, what if we send you our phone numbers via email if we want to call, and you call us in order of receipt? Just a thought, Kevin. I would do that, except for the fact that, here it is 11 minutes past 7 o'clock. We got $100 to raise. We haven't raised any of it. And every outbound long-distance call I make is a toll call. So that kind of puts the kibosh on that. Back to BroFromix. Will you please shut up? No, he will not.
The conscience mandate. You could say, well...
Wait, a conscience band-aid? No, conscience mandate. Okay, let's get the full context.
Status secular rule in Europe. That is who they want us to be. And you see it. You see it in the things they do even now. They're subtle, they're little, they don't even hit on most people's radar screens. But look at Obamacare and the conscience band-aid.
Oh,
you can say, well, oh, they're trying to...
Oh, the conscience mandate. That's a big thing with these goobers these days. If you, for instance, are a pharmacist who thinks that a woman should not be able to purchase birth control, then you have the right to refuse to sell it to her because of your conscience. Interestingly, however, also because of your conscience, your employer does not have the right to fire your freaky ass because of your exercise of your conscience. So they've got a right to refuse perfectly legal prescription pharmaceuticals to a person entitled to purchase them. And they have an absolute right to keep their job when they do it. What a nice racket. I mean, you can't beat that. I get to have a job and get paid, but I don't have to do my job if I don't want to. You're having a bad day. You want to just sit back in the pharmacy, not fill any scripts, and somebody comes up and says, hey, my doctor just gave me a Z-Pack because I've got some sort of a bug here. Fill in the Z-Pack. Nope, my conscience says I can't do that for you because my God wants you to drop dead. Conscience mandate. Or maybe this is the conscience mandate where Hobby Lobby having to provide health care for its workers is a violation of the multi-millionaire owner of Hobby Lobby's conscientious objection to women being able to make decisions about the reproductive workings of their own precious little consciences that these right-wing freaks have. God, I despise them with the heat of a million suns.
Is who they want us to be. And you see it. You see it in the things they do even now. They're subtle, they're little, they don't even hit on most people's radar screens. But look at Obamacare and the conscience mandate. You could say, well, all they're trying to do is provide contraception and abortifacients for people who should...
Oh, there it is, the abortifacients again. You see how these ideas creep and slither and slime and worm and corkscrew their way all through their talking points, and then the for-profit media pick them up and run with them, and the next thing you know, everything's an abortifacient, even if it isn't.
Have access to them. Oh, really?
Oh, really? Okay, we're going to get some sort of pontification
here. You
see
it in the things they do even now. They're subtle. They're little. They don't even hit on most people's radar screens. But look at Obamacare and the conscience mandate. You could say, well, all they're trying to do is provide contraception and abortifacients for people who should have access to them. Oh, really? Oh, really? Is that all they're trying to do? Well, let's take them at their word. That's all they're trying to do.
Fluoride, Mandrake. In little children's ice cream. Fluoride. Get me a drink of grain alcohol and rainwater and whatever it is you limeys like to drink. Have you ever noticed, Mandrake, that I only drink pure grain alcohol?
Okay. What would be the easiest way to make sure that everybody who wants those pills can have them for free and have complete access to them? Give them away. Give them away at pharmacies. Give them away at supermarkets. Give them away in vending machines. If you want them to be ubiquitous, simply pay for them and give them away. But that's not what they did.
And why would that be? Because they cost money. And because you right-wing turds throw a fit every time some money gets spent on women's health care. Brother Charlie Pierce calls this man a colossal dick. I'm inclined to agree.
You dick!
Yeah.
What they did was say to each and every one of you whose conscience is violated by it, we will make you do what we tell you to do. They will force you to use your money.
Really? They're going to force you to use your money? How many times do I have to tell you to keep your hands off the filthy money? Finster! You people of conscience. Pretty soon, they're going to be making archbishops and bishops and cardinals and little vicars take the birth control. Wait! We don't have any women who are those. Well, they're going to make them take it anyway. Oh, freedom, liberty, Jesus!
They don't subscribe to the concept of freedom of religion. No, the word they use more often now...
Often. God damn it. The word is often, not often. Often. O-F-T-E-N. The T is silent. Often. It is oft if you don't have the E-N. It's often if you... Never mind. Sorry. It's one of those little ticks I have.
Conscience is violated by it. We will make you do what we tell you to do.
Sieg Heil! Oh, sorry. What does it look like when somebody gets their conscience violated? Because I know what it looks like when a teenage girl can't get access to contraception. She winds up being a mommy. What does it look like when some pasty-faced, doughy, right-wing, repig-licking former senator laughed out of government gas bag asshole gets his conscience violated? What does that look like? Because, you know, he's got a nice haircut. He looks like he spent some time in the sun. He's not orange like Boner, so I don't think it's artificial or sprayed on. What does it look like now? I mean, because we've apparently been violating Bro-Fro-Mix's conscience all over the place. I mean, we're lucky he didn't show up with a feather boa or something for all the conscience violating he's had. Because he doesn't look any the worse for wear. Just saying.
They will force you to use your money. They don't subscribe to the concept of freedom of religion. No, the word they use more often now, and they actually do use these words, freedom of worship.
And? You do realize that there are, and I kind of hate this word, go back to the beginning of the program in the archive if you want to know why. There are spiritual doctrines that are not religions. Atheism ain't one of them. But anybody who has ever sat down and followed the arc of a developing faith knows that, you know, you start out with a little cult. You know, you got one guy who says he has the answers, or woman, and you get five or six people around, yeah, she's got the answers, all right. And then they go out and go, hey, she's got the answers. And the group gets a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger, and it goes, it rises through, you know, personal cult, charismatic cult, ecclesiastical cult. It's all cult. It's cult all the way down. What the hell's wrong with freedom of worship? The hell's wrong with freedom from worship? What's wrong with freedom from religion? And see, that's the thing they'll never touch on, because this guy really is a pre-revolutionary French religious zealot. Everybody has to worship the way he wants them to worship. Everybody has to believe the way he wants them to believe, or he will personally see to it that his weird cult says that you have to go burn in the hot place. God, this man sickens me.
Now, to the untrained eye, freedom of worship, freedom of religion sound like the same thing, but they are not.
Okay, I've got an untrained eye, obviously. Explain it to me, bro, Fromix.
You see, freedom of worship means if you want to go to your church and look at the Obamacare mandate. If you're in the church itself, okay, you don't have to do this. But once you walk out of the church, even if it's next door to a ministry, you're mine.
Yours? I don't want to be yours, Rick. You're weird. Mommy, make the strange man go away. Stranger danger! Even if it's a ministry. Do you get the gravamen of what this guy is objecting to? He wants religion to control all aspects of life in the United States. He doesn't want you to be able to go anywhere and get away from his weird vision of faith or belief or worship or religion or whatever sick, twisted thing that the little corkscrew worms have made his brain come up with. Tracy, the lady cab driver, just sent me a note on Skype, and she said, "Bro Fromix must be frothing at the mouth." Well, there is some froth involved wherever he is. Must be frothing at the mouth over the new pope. Oh, I'm sure. Where did he come from? Jesuits. That whole "who am I to judge an atheist" thing, I'll bet that didn't play worth it. But then again, I'm sure that neither Rick Santorum nor Mel Gibson nor Bill Donahue nor any of those other beat-yourself-with-pieces-of-barbed-wire weirdos even acknowledges the legitimacy of this pope. You know, he's kind of old. Maybe he'll die and we'll get a good one. Like old John Paul II. Nobody clamped down. I miss old JP, too. I mean, when he clamped down, he clamped down. He saw that liberation theology busting out in Central America, and I mean, he took care of it on the double quick.
You will do what the state tells you to do, not what your conscience does.
Has the state told Rick... I just want to be clear on something here. Has Has the state told Rick Santorum he has to take a birth control pill? Has the state told Rick Santorum that his bizarre wife has to take a birth control pill? Has the state made her roll a condom down over his penis? Or made him do it himself? I don't think I'd let him do it himself. He'd probably enjoy it too much. Be rolling it on and rolling it off and rolling it on and rolling it off. And the next thing you know, there's a million little souls in the end of the condom. And, well, Rick's got to go to confession again. If you ever had any doubt whatsoever about the fact that these are theocrats and that a theocracy is their ultimate goal here, would you please, please put those doubts to rest?
Same thing, but they are not. You see, freedom of worship means if you want to go to your church and look at the Obamacare mandate. If you're in the church itself, okay, you don't have to do this. But once you walk out of the church, even if it's next door to a ministry, you're mine. You will do what the state tells you to do, not what your conscience does. This is a descendant of the French Revolution.
This is not a descendant of the French Revolution. See, this is what right-wingers do. They get a little tiny, itsy-bitsy, microscopic particle of history, and they weave an entire fantasy around it. Kind of like when a spider encapsulates some fly that got caught in the web in a cocoon. After a while, you can't tell it was a fly. It's just another blob of meat for the little baby spiders. This is that. But ultimately, these clowns are going to figure out, are going to have to figure out, because the people who follow them aren't, well, you know, they're atne ute aitbre, if you know what one what I mean, and the historical metaphors are getting a little confusing. Now, there you had Bro-fro-mix Rick Santorum, who... Timmy, this is your baby brother. He's all dead and purple and looks a lot like a lizard, and he fits in the palm of my hand. Here, you hold your baby brother. No, Daddy, I want to hold the scary thing. No, Daddy! And they want to rule your life. To the women in the horn audience and women everywhere, it's worth reminding them that Rick Santorum wants to be the one who decides whether or not you bear children. And he wants you to bear all the children you can possibly bear and then some. Because there aren't enough humans on the planet. And sure, nah, hell no. Nobody's hungry on this planet. And if they are, well, it's because Rick's God wants them to be hungry. Oh, sorry, you must have come in a little bit late, Angry. Our buddy the Angry Indian asking, who is this neo-Confederate? That would be former United States Senator from the state of Pennsylvania, Stan, Rick Santorum, Angry. He is what we call a weirdo. Jim asking, how long will your landline be held captive? It's not being held captive. I just don't know when they're going to fix it. Conscience from Kevin, Colorado Springs. Yeah, Bob, you're right on track with the Z-Pak comment. Perhaps their conscience says they're opposed to any medicines at all, thus still denying any of their employees health care for anything due to their conscience. You're right. What a racket. The religio-industrial complex, signed Kevin. Oh, don't give them any ideas, Kevin. They'll all turn into Christian scientists. Danny writing, subject line, RS. You said it best about our little pope-in-waiting, Rick. Dick! How he ever got elected is shocking, yet he was not reelected, so that alone keeps me from just calling the whole thing off. I want the freedom to never hear his squealing little revisionist history voice. God damn him. And this from Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, wait a goddamn minute. Don't we have an Office of Faith-Based Initiatives in the White House? So it's just fine to spend my goddamn money for religious purposes, but not fine for me to have my money used for secular purposes. You're right on track, Ron. You got it. And Marty has a taste for prophecy and prescience. Did Man on Dog end with in Germany as opposed to in France? No, that's what I mean. They're mixing their historical metaphors, and the little knuckle walkers and mouth breathers and strychnine swillers and tongue speakers and floor rollers and snake handlers are bound to get confused. Witness Jim Bob Duggar. You got to have a celebrity at your Values Voter Summit, and none better than Jim Bob Duggar. He's the one who has made his wife give birth to countless scores of quiver babies. Jesus, what are they at, 22 or something? And of course, they gave him a reality program for it, so that makes him a celebrity. I'm surprised the Values voters didn't invite Honey Boo Boo Child. So Jim Bob Duggar gets up. And if it ain't the French Revolution, well, you probably got a pretty good idea what it must be then.
Back a few years ago, I heard Governor Huckabee speak, and he was sharing about how he had taken his daughter, Sarah, over to one of the concentration camps where a lot of Jewish people were killed. And he said as they were walking out of that concentration camp, he said, little Sarah, at the time, she was like maybe, I don't know, 7 years old or so. She looked.
Hey, what a nifty thing to do. Take a 7 year old to Auschwitz. Suddenly, Euro Disney doesn't look so bad anymore. Raising children is never easy. But you do try not to scar them. We are all, sooner or later, amateur parents, even if we've had 22 freaking quiver babies. By the way, Duggar's son Josh is the executive director of the Family Research Council Action. Yeah. They're doing a Duggar family tour of Virginia. Old Dominion. They're campaigning on behalf of Ken Cuccinelli. I think you can get a cream to take care of your Cuccinelli. And E.W. Jackson. Yeah. E.W. Jackson was an MC of the voters, valued voters. No, really. So anyway, let's get back to Jim Bob Duggar, Quiver Daddy. Oh, if only I had a handy Squidbillies quip. Quiver Daddy. Does he have a kid named Rusty? Jim Bob Duggar. So anyway, when last we checked in with Jim Bob Duggar, he was taking a 7 year old through Auschwitz and traumatizing the poor child.
Camp. He said little Sarah at the time, she was like maybe, I don't know, 7 years old or so. She looked up at him. And she said, Daddy, why didn't somebody do something? And
liberals!
You know what? That's where we are at in our nation. You know?
You know, that's where we are at in our nation, you know? Really?
I'm so wasted!
I wish I was. You know, that's where we are in our nation, you know? 7 year olds in concentration camps? That's where we are in our nation? No. I'll probably jump to a conclusion there. Let's let Jim Bob finish.
Oh, do we want our children, we're going to tell them about how great America was, they're going to look at you and say, why didn't somebody do something? You know what? We have an opportunity to get involved and to make a difference. And you guys are the army that can go out and impact America. If everybody here would...
Yeah, because America needs to be impacted. Impacted America. I think we already are.
Would, instead of sitting on those sidelines and watching for the bleachers, would get active, we could start a revival that would sweep the land. God bless you.
So, yeah, right now, 2013, October the 14th, the United States of America is, in the estimation of Titanic intellect, no, that's tomorrow, Jim Bob Duggar, just like Nazi Germany during the Holocaust. You got it? Just like. Not vaguely. Not vaguely similar to. No. Just like. Boxcar loads of human beings crammed shoulder to shoulder for a long ride to death. Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, people who were born with birth defects, rounded up and sent to camps where they were exterminated. That's what America right now is just like. If these bastards manage to take over, maybe they're telegraphing their wishes. Maybe that's what they want. Mercy. Mercy. So we're a little past halfway in the program. Yeah, okay. Stockton Larry in the chat room. It can't happen here. We don't have any functioning trains, you know. There's no trains to make run on time. Oh, my Lord. Okay, the vocabulary moment. Tracy, the lady cab driver, asking via Skype, what's a quiver baby? The Duggars have what they call quiver babies because they view babies as arrows in a quiver for Christ. So they feel that every time he inseminates her and she gets pregnant and has another baby, it is another arrow to be used, to be shot into the culture wars, to drag America kicking and screaming to Christ. Hence, quiver baby. That, Tracy, is a quiver baby. Ron and Raleigh noting, if Jim Bob wasn't riding on the backs of his 22 kids to his weird celebrity, he'd be collecting massive amounts of welfare. You can't raise 22 children without some kind of scam. And I think it's maybe like 15 or something, but he already is. He's not raising them babies without welfare. But that's okay, because they're white babies, and therefore they are deserving of welfare. Marty says, I thought the Cuccinelli cure was a powder or a gel, not a cream. Well, it comes in all three. So... here we go. We are 10 minutes past the halfway point in the program. Take a little break. after an hour and 40 minutes of nonstop talking, they a break off is often well called for. I want to thank Jude. Jude took care of tonight's fundraising. So tonight's Moran Monday is brought to you by Jude. Thank you, Jude. Thank you kindly. It is deeply appreciated. It's how we keep it going. Thank you. If anybody would like to help Jude get out in front, actually, like I said, we got started one-third of the way by Tony Anthony overnight. Thanks very much. We could get a little run going and maybe keep from, you know, a little insurance against future hole digging if you want to hit the PayPal button and match Jude and Tony's kindness. It's over at headonradionetwork.com. So, too, is the traditional mail address. Conversation radio will be restored to normal at some point in the near future. For now, you can reach via the Skype line, which you are welcome to do. Bob Kincaid Horn is how you reach the program on Skype. This is the Horn, radio like none other. I'm Bob Kincaid.
From the walls of the Bastille and through the streets of Paris runs the sense of the unreal. The kings have all departed, their servants are nowhere. We burned out all their mansions in the name of Robespierre, and still we wait to see the day begin on time. Is waiting in the wind, wondering why, wondering why it echoes through the lonely palace of Versailles. Burning low. Oh, you sit and talk all through the night, but there's just no place to go. And Bonaparte is coming with his army from the south. Marat, your days are numbered, and we live hand to mouth while we wait to see the day begin. Our time is wasting in the wind, wondering why, wondering why it echoes through the lonely palace of Versailles. Still prowls the Paris streets. Down all the restless centuries, it wanders incomplete. It speaks inside the cheap red wine of cafes on the nights. Its red and amber voices call the cars at traffic lights. Why do you wait to see the day begin? Your time is wasting in the wind, wondering why, wondering why it echoes through. under the lonely palace of a sign. Wondering why it echoes through the lonely palace of a sign.
How do you pass up an obvious reference to the French Revolution? I couldn't. It was beyond me. The Palace of Versailles, Al Stewart, Time Passages was the album 19... Lost. Can't. No help. So this is the horn. It is 13 minutes before 8 o'clock. I am getting far too accustomed to these lengthy-ass filibobsters. But those will hopefully abate in short order. Where to go? Because God knows we've got plenty of places to go. I can tell you one place I'm not going, however. Ever. Okay, I admit, I didn't go there very often to begin with. I think I've been there once, maybe. Tops. TGI Fridays. It's always fun at TGI Fridays, unless you're a Muslim. Remember, my nurse told me this morning, it's just not right that Obama is a Muslim. A Muslim woman claims that employees at a TGI Fridays in Garland, Texas, of course, added bacon bits to her iced tea order. Why am I not surprised? I also have here a story. This goes back a couple of weeks. Who shared this with me? Was it Duncan? But I saved it. Because, you know, the morons you have always with me. Let me just look it up because it's unforgettable. Man, pops right up in the suggested searches. Free shipping on orders over $100. Introducing the only ammunition of its kind. Ammunition. The only ammunition in the world that provides a peaceful and natural deterrent to radical Islam, peace through pork. It's called Jihawg, J-I-H-A-W-G, ammo, freedom's first choice in defensive ammunition. Hamuel Adams says patriots can build a wall of protection. Patriots can build a wall of protection and peaceful deterrence to the growing threat of radical Islam and its culture of world dominance in one brick box at a time. They guarantee no I'm not kidding. This is not a parody site, as far as I can tell. They guarantee that their bullets are coated in pig grease, which is, of course, haram to practitioners of the Muslim faith. And the theory being that no radical Islamist is going to attack a guy who he knows is going to shoot back with bullets coated in pig grease. They say on their website, jihadists fear of being defiled by pork, especially during jihad. Jihog ammunition is haram or unclean to the jihadist. So when you hear the radical battle cry, Allahu Akbar, it's time to put some ham in Mohammed. Holy, I've been sitting on this story for a while, and as is usually the case when I flirt with the goddess of irony, she flirts back. That's the way these weirdo right-winger eliminationists think. Do 72 virgins a favor. Jihog ammunition is endorsed by Uncle Ham. Jihog ammo promotes peace through the natural deterrence of pork-infused ballistic coating. Made in the USA. There's pig in the paint, ballistic paint infused with pork to make it unclean for jihadists, but it's still ammo. But anyway, so, we take you now to Garland, Texas, where a woman named Nicole Queen, she marks herself out as being some sort of faith because she's got a bunch of headgear on. But, you know, it's windy in Texas, too, and so maybe you don't want to mess up the dew and you wrap your head in a scarf, but, you know, at TGI Fridays, they're not taking any chances. She asked to have her Cobb salad to go because she wasn't exactly treated nicely when she asked her waiter to take her Cobb salad back and please remove the bacon bits. You'll note she did not say, bring me an all-new Cobb salad with no bacon in it. She just asked him to remove the bacon bits. This pissed off the waiter in Garland, Texas. So, a different waiter brings back her salad. And then, after they pay for their check, the same waiter comes back and offers to refill her iced tea to go. Which you don't always... No, that's kind of strange. She thought it was kind of odd. But she took him up on the offer. And then when she got to her car and went to take a slurp of the tea through the straw, she found that she had a mouthful of bacon bits. They went to the trouble. These weird freak right-wingers in Garland, Texas, and it took more than one of them, because remember, there were two waiters involved. They took the bacon bits out of her salad and put them into a straw. Now, imagine the level of work here. You have to be going seriously out of your way to offend someone to put piece by piece by piece pieces of bacon into the hollow of a straw so that you make sure that the jihadi woman eats her some bacon so then her God won't love her. She went back to complain, and the waiter said, well, my staff wouldn't do no such a thing. Sure they wouldn't. This is a country that where free enterprise produces bullets with pig grease in the paint, so that it'll be extra deadly to your average jihadi. Oh, by the way, Ron updated me on the Duggars. They got 19 young'uns and are actively trying for 20. Mrs. Duggar's reproductive organs must look like an alpine tunnel. She squats and they just drop out. No, they've become a Monty Python skit. Just hope they don't have to sell any little Duggars off for medical experimentation. And yes, there's a comment with an exclamation point over here coming from Tracy, the lady cab driver. She just says, "Bacon bit iced tea?" Because there are those of us who don't think that bacon, that there's anything that bacon's not good in. I've told you about how wonderful Benton's bacon from East Tennessee is. Next time I've had to make a promise to Ferg. Next time we get a package, he gets to do some and dip it in chocolate and set it up to, you know, so the chocolate will harden and everything. And, you know, just like a chocolate dipped strawberry. Yeah. So there. So there's that. And I'm really kind of hard-pressed to figure out where to go next. Because there, I feel like the center of a compass. And the needle is just swinging. True north is gone, and the damn thing is just swinging all over creation. Creation being a term I use, not really. But okay, we can say goodbye to Oprah. Bye, Oprah. At some point in time, I guess we have to talk about what else happened over the weekend. This is Moran Monday, after all. And there was an absolute conclave of Morans in Washington City. Tracy asking, was this a black woman they did this to at TGIF? She's if it was, she's mighty faint. I don't think it was. I don't think she was black. They just presumed from the headgear that she was Muslim because she asked that the bacon bits be taken off. I guess she is Muslim. But, you know, Muslims aren't the only women who wear the headgear. Would they put bacon bits in a Jewish woman's salad in a straw? Is there something fundamentally un-American about not eating bacon? Oh, right. Judeo-Christian. Got it. Okay, one more. One more from the Values Voter Summit. I'm sorry. Just one more. And, in fact, this was actually a nomination from Brother Marty. One of the leading lights and rising stars of the teabag and weirdo industry is a... I think he was a neurologist or something. Neurosurgeon. He was a neurosurgeon. A guy named Ben Carson, who, by virtue of his high melanin skin content and the fact that he is a teabagger, has turned into an... I mean, he's an Elvis in the teabag movement right now because, you know, they don't have a lot of high melanin content teabaggers. And so he, too, was offered a speaking slot at the Values Voters Summit. And again, they're gonna have to pick one historical metaphor and live with it. It can be revolutionary France. It can be Nazi Germany. But Dr. Ben Carson, whom I would not trust to put on a goddamn Band-Aid, has his own. I bet you know where he's going.
You know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery. And it is, in a way, it is slavery, in a way, because it is making...
Tracy, pull the car over. Just pull the cab over, Tracy. I don't want you hitting anybody or running into a phone pole or scraping any passersby or anything. I'm sorry. I probably should have set this up better. No, you heard that right. And you heard the clapping, too. At first, there was a little gasp. And then there was clapping. Let's go back. Testify, Dr. Ben.
You know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery. And it is, in a way, it is slavery, in a way, because...
You hear the whistling? The cheering? Yeah, Obamacare is slavery. Again, America is not on the way toward becoming or a little bit like Nazi Germany. Brother Duggar says America is just like Nazi Germany. Bro Fromix says America is just like the French Revolution. Well, you know, liberal America is. And now along comes Dr. Ben Carson to explain that Obamacare is, his words, not mine, slavery. It's not. Wait, was this even a simile?
And it is, in a way, it is slavery.
No, it is slavery. Same, equals sign. Not like slavery, it is slavery. I guess we're all just going to have to go out and get medical care. Or maybe heave the heavy stones necessary to build a national capitol building or an executive residence. Or build the roads, all the roads that went around the South. You know, those were, yeah. What precious few roads there were in the South prior to the Civil War weren't built by white people. Did you know that? Yeah, it's true. Those great, big, beautiful mansions, yeah, they weren't built by white people. They didn't build that! What amazes me is this clip is 13 seconds long, and he's already said that Obamacare is slavery. They've already clapped and whistled and cheered. Where the hell do you go after that? Let's find out. You know, just like the wise old owl in the Tootsie Pop commercial from many decades past. Let's find out.
You know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery.
Katrina wasn't as bad as Obamacare. The mass murder at Virginia Tech, not as bad as Obamacare. The theater massacre, not as bad as Obamacare. Newtown, Connecticut, Sandy Hook Elementary School, not as bad as Obamacare. 9/11, not as bad as Obamacare. Tracy asking, and I'm reading verbatim here, does he not realize that these crackers will throw his darky ass under the bus the first chance they get? No, he doesn't. He's getting he's cashing the check, Tracy. There are checks involved. Then I hope the car's pulled over, Tracy. She writes, oh my God, I'm throwing up. Let's see. Since slavery. The 5,000 or so deaths at Normandy on June the 6th, 1944. Not as bad as Obamacare. The Vietnam War that took the lives of 55,000 American soldiers and climbing. Not as bad as Obamacare. The influenza epidemic of 1918. Not as bad as Obamacare. The assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Not as bad as Obamacare. Pearl Harbor. Not as bad as Obamacare. AIDS, HIV. Not as bad as Obamacare. Dengue fever, not as bad as Obamacare. Ebola, not as bad as Obamacare. Now, wait a minute. Did he say in this country? Wait a minute. I got to check.
Really, I think the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery.
Okay, in this nation, because that at least lets out Mao's great leap forward in the Cultural Revolution. It lets out the Holocaust, but then again, we've already got a Holocaust comparison. It gets a little tiresome. Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire. Not as bad as Obamacare. Haymarket Massacre. Not as bad as Obamacare. 1929 stock market crash. Not as bad as Obamacare. What he's going to do for an encore, I got no idea.
And it is, in a way, it is slavery, in a way, because it is making all of us subservient to the government. And
oh, wait. It's making us all subservient to the government? Well, that is just like slavery. I guess that white, black, you what... No, they're all going to put us on the block, look at our teeth, you know, humiliate us, and sell us to the highest government bidder. I get, what? Huh? Our buddy the Angry Indian adding a little bit to the list. Wounded Knee. Not as bad as Obamacare. Columbus Day. You know, the actual landing. No, that was before slavery. That's cheating, Angry. The Sand Creek Massacre. Not as bad as Obamacare. Get the idea? Yeah, you get the idea. Doctor, would any of you, honest to God, would any of you let this guy within a country mile of you, even if you had terrible, terrible, terrible brain disease? He's a neurosurgeon, you know. If your back was all screwed up and Dr. Ben Carson wanted to make it so your back wouldn't hurt anymore, would you let this guy operate on you? Because I wouldn't.
And it was never about health care. It was about control. And that's why when this administration took office, it didn't matter that the country was going off the cliff economically. All forces were directed toward getting this legislation passed.
Dr. Ben, I'm not sure what sort of draw spunky school of medicine let you in, but could I point out to you that this country went off the cliff economically because of fill in the blank? No, not Obamacare. Sorry. Sorry, that's not the universal answer for all things you hate. No, it was somebody you voted for. That's right. Oh, my God, I can't believe. Yeah, Bush.
And why did they want to pass it so badly?
Because we had 45 million uninsured Americans who couldn't go to the doctor and were running an average of something on the order of 40,000 people dying in America, you know, the United States, for whom, yeah, never mind. 40,000 people plus dying in America every year, not from disease, untreatable disease or cancer, yada, yada. No, but simply dying because they did not have access to health care because they had no health insurance. That's why they were in a hurry, Dr. Ben.
Well, as I said the other night on television, Vladimir Lenin.
Really? V.I. Lenin? Did what?
One of the fathers of socialism and communism.
Wrong! He is the father of Russian authoritarian communism. He ain't one of the fathers of socialism and communism. You would be talking about Marx and Engels there. You apparently did not take political science and or history on your way to your draw spunky school of medicine degree.
Said that socialized medicine is the keystone to the establishment of a socialist state.
Maybe he did. I'm doubting it. If this guy told me that that the sky was blue, I would go outside expecting it to be pink with polka dots. He's a liar. Now maybe Lenin did say that. But can we just go see? Lucky us, we're not a bunch of knuckle walking, mouth breathing troglodytes, and therefore we have a working appreciation of history. And we don't just automatically assume that Lenin was the devil. Because he wasn't. That was Stalin. But Lenin may actually have said that it was a keystone, making sure that everybody should have some kind of health care. You know where he would have gotten that idea, Ben? Do you know who paid for his ticket to Moscow, Ben, you freaking idiot? The Germans paid for his railroad ticket to Moscow. What did Germany have by October 1917? Why, yes, look, they had access to health care. They had old age pensions, and they had workers' compensation. Who put those into place? Ben? Wrong. Not Marx and Engels. Come on, Ben. Come on. No, don't got it. Don't got it. Bismarck, who was neither a Marxist, nor a communist, nor a socialist. He was what your buddies there would call a statist. And rather than having a bunch of social upheaval and revolutions and winding up with his head spitted upon a pike, he realized that the culture would be better off, the society, the government, the German state, nascent as it was, would be better off providing things like old age pensions, workers' compensation, and health care to a people who badly needed it. What an idiot. Let's go to the Skype line. Jeremy's with us. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening?
Sounds like you had a run-in with the ones that walk amongst us at your doctor's appointment today.
Oh, Jesus. They're all over the place. You just never know.
Oh, that story gives me makes me feel sympathy, like I said, for that guy I ran to last week who just kind of left me my tongue hanging out. Like, really? These people really exist?
Oh, they're real. I promise you they're real.
I swear that Obama's everything, including a Kenyan Muslim socialist, but he hates all white people, but they won't say he's a Christian because he's a Muslim, even though he's a radical Christian who hung out with that other radical Christian, you know. Oh, what fun.
It's a blast.
Oh, it's a real blast. I especially enjoyed that about 30-minute piece from Rick Santorum. That was special.
He just does things to me. Ick.
He's one of those guys I could probably punch and not think of something of it. Really, I could. And, you know, it's funny. You played that Duggar clip, and my girlfriend loves watching Duggar just because she watches in utter amazement of, like, this, just who they are, just, like, I mean, not like she's enthralled with them, but just how they go about life. And I'm not surprised for one second that Jim was there preaching holy heaven about how this is Nazi Germany and we're marching toward the death camps. It doesn't surprise me one bit.
No, not at all. And you know what? In his mind, it probably is. He looks around America and he sees where the camps are going to be built. And he looks around America and he sees all them little Duggars being herded into cattle cars and rolled off to Topeka or somewhere. Or no, it'd have to be a blue state, wouldn't it, Jeremy?
Yeah. And did you say something about his son Josh, who's the one who has a kid now of his own, is the head of some other psycho organization?
Yes, yes. American Family Action. That's the PAC that politics on behalf of the American, not the American Family Association, but the other one, the one that Tony Norman Bates Perkins runs.
Isn't that special? So, channels like TLC, which is Discovery, if anyone doesn't know that, but give these people money, give them a pulpit, and raise them to a higher level of being able to reach the minions and preach their hatred in some ways, and pay them to do it.
Yeah. And I guess there'll be this is the thing. It's kind of like Mormon families, I guess. They have so many children that they you know, the goal of having quiver babies is to be able to have your family line absolutely dominate whatever culture they're in. There's going to be so many of them that you can't get away from them. I mean, this is a deliberate strategy. This is not the only quiver family, Jeremy. And I have no doubts whatsoever that this freak son of his will wind up having a quiver baby family of his own.
No, they've already talked about it. I think they're on baby, they're working on baby two now. If not, she's already pregnant with baby two. So they just had number one last year on national TV, which I don't quite understand. But, and my understanding of the Duggars is that once Jim's wife has the baby, she hands the baby off to the kids and the kids raise the baby.
Right.
Her job is to basically push out babies. That's her job in life. That's it.
I mean, I know this is real, Jeremy, but for the life of me, I have a hard time really processing it into my being, because I feel sorry for this woman. I mean,
for Jim's wife?
Yeah, for Jim Duggar's wife. I mean, every day of her life is like something out of To Kill a Mockingbird, and there he was, a ruttin' on my Mayella. I mean, she knows. I wonder. I mean, how much time does she actually get to heal up from delivering a baby before he's on her like a duck on a June bug?
I don't know, but she has that same doe in the headlights look that I'm not a witch had too. That kind of like she has that same look in her eyes, like wide eyed and wonder, like everything around her.
Sooner or later, I mean, it is abuse. It's abusive behavior. women are not. Then again, if she's okay with it, that's her choice. It's her business, not mine. But women to do that is to say that a woman is nothing more than the sum total of her reproductive organs. And nothing, Jeremy, could be further from the truth, and we all know it. And if she's just passing the babies off to the kids and flopping on her back again, you know, beige, I'll paint the ceiling beige, then what kind of mothering are these children getting? I mean, there was a time when the culture rewarded large families. You know, let's say you had 300 acres and you only ate what you grew. Well, a young couple would get busy having babies because it would take that to raise, to continue survival. It's a survival issue. But this is not then. I mean, I can look, two generations back in my family, and I think there were 13 kids. But it's because there was a farm to be worked. It's
right,
because survival was on the line. I've never seen anything about the Duggars having 400 acres that they have to work, do they?
No, they just got two houses they merged together, and Jim Bob goes off and sells real estate and made millions doing that, and then he made millions more doing the TLC and dancing around, and TLC doesn't quite exactly let them vent their religious views as much as I guess this little min group up meet did, but it's definitely the you get the feeling from watching the show, you definitely get what their thoughts are. I mean, they're definitely like Old Testament Bible thumpers. it's good as gold, that Bible. There's nothing wrong in it.
It was good for Paul. It was good for Paul and Silas, and it's good enough for me.
God really did pluck a rib from Adam's side and form Eve out of it. So you know.
Oh, I just sent something along to Dr. John that Dennis in Kentucky sent to me. I'm sitting here laughing myself silly. I was going to save it for Wednesday, but just yeah. Consider the headline from The Onion. Sumerians look on in confusion as God creates world. I love it. Members of the Earth's earliest known civilization, the Sumerians, looked on in shock and confusion some 6,000 years ago as God, the Lord Almighty, created heaven and earth.
Yeah, the Sumerians were there long before the Babylonians and all
that. That's why I keep saying that, you know, these weirdos like Ken Ham in Kentucky believe that the Earth is slightly younger than the written recipe for beer.
Humans, in their current form, probably date back as far as 100,000 years. I'm talking, like, almost towards, like, monkeys. But as a species, we've been here a lot longer than the 6,000-year-old Earth.
Well,
a lot longer.
Yeah, it's so funny how so many of these little conversations off air wind up in these teachable moments that I have with Ferg, because we were sitting around yesterday when he asked me about the human ancestry and lineage. We'd been watching some video clip about bonobos, who are amazing, amazing creatures. But he asked me, you know, he asked me about human origins. So instead of going to Genesis, because no, the answers aren't in Genesis, we started talking about Australopithecus afarensis, and we talked about Homo erectus and Homo habilis and Homo sapiens, and then we talked a little bit about the Neanderthals and the fact that no, the Neanderthals weren't wiped out. Like that crazy woman from Delaware said, I'm you. They're us. We all got us some Neanderthal genes in us, especially us white Europeans.
They all merged together. That's common knowledge. It's all in us. I mean, that's where the fight-or-flight brain comes from, is in the Neanderthal times.
Yeah, run. Here come the humans.
or when it was life and death, basically, hey, can I win this fight or is it going to kill me?
Oh, my God, it's Moran Monday, and you just gave me this vision of sort of a female Neanderthal and a Jim Bob Duggar Homo sapiens chasing her. It kind of makes sense.
Well, I'm sure there was one trying to pass his lineage around back then, too, by any means necessary. Jesus. I mean, elephants do it and other animals do it, where only one male can mate with the females to make the strongest strain through the eons. And when that older elephant is pushed off to the side, a new strain comes in.
Mind-boggling. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bob, have a good night. I'll let you go.
All right, you take care, Jeremy. Good to hear from you, brother.
You too. Thanks.
Bye. Bye now. Yeah, the sky flying's open. That's our buddy Jeremy. A couple of trips to the email box. Jude with a note. She says, "Don't diminish the grasping strength of a Dr. Ben Carson, as his credentials could certainly possibly place him as the new savior of America, and that could be the final nail in the coffin of a free society, a theocracy." And Jude is correct, of course. Robert in Australia with a note, the Affordable Care Act. Bob, these people who say the ACA is the worst thing to happen in the USA since fill in the blank, do any of them ever explain why and how? Well, Dr. Ben Carson, whom I would not trust to put a Band-Aid on anybody, says it's because it makes us subservient to the government, but that's just another, that's just another trapdoor in the stage. Because we still don't know how are we subservient? So Robert in Australia continues, "As I understand the law, it directs all Americans without health insurance to purchase it and guides them to the most affordable private health insurance for their situation. And if they don't take out any health insurance, there's a $95 fine. Is that correct?" Yes, that is correct. So it's like paying taxes, except that the money, and that's what that sort of dead-eyed John Roberts said. He said, "You don't have any power to do this under the Commerce Clause, Obama administration, but the government does have the power to do this under the power to tax," which was sort of an evil, genius way of going about it. And John Roberts is the smartest Republican alive. He really is, and he is evil. He is evil. I mean, he went to evil legal school, okay? He didn't go to evil. He didn't spend those 3 years in evil law school for us to be running around calling him Mister. He is Chief Justice John Roberts, damn it. Anyway, Roberts says, "So it's like paying taxes, except that the money goes to a private corporation, which would make paying taxes the worst thing to happen to the USA since fill in the blank?" Yes. Which I know, Robert adds, many people in the USA think is correct anyway. And do these people that two of the USA's biggest supporters both, do these people realize that two of the USA's biggest supporters both have socialized medicine, which works just fine, and we have private health insurance as well? Don't confuse them, Robert. They're not much interested in facts. Speaking of which, Robert adds, some years ago, when the private health insurance here in Australia started to fail, the then Prime Minister, John Howard, introduced a 30% rebate on private health insurance, corporate welfare, which is kind of like the reverse of the subsidies that we have now. You can buy health insurance on the private through the marketplace, the exchanges, and the government will then provide welfare to the insurance companies for in turn insuring you. John Howard introduced a 30% rebate on private health insurance, corporate welfare, and increased the Medicare levy for those without private health insurance from 1% to 1.5%. Robert closes saying, "Having had private health insurance when I was young, I am happy to pay the 1.5%. Tim with a note. "Of course AIDS isn't as bad as Obamacare. That was just God punishing the sodomites. And the little sodomite babies, remember? Remember Pastor Hudson and the sodomite babies? Ben Carson was a brilliant neurosurgeon. He served untold numbers of Siamese twins. Cuba Gooding played him in the telefilm based on the best-selling 1990 autobiography Gifted Hands. He's replacing Herman Cain as Teabag Negro in Chief. I say this as a rotten cherry to top his legacy, but my brother thinks he's deliberately planned this career transition." Tim, I hate to say it, but I'm with your brother on this. This is no accident. Jay writes in and says, Fundy doctors. For me, this is real. The first question I ask every new doctor I encounter is, are you a Christian? If they answer yes, I plumb a bit deeper. On two occasions over the last 10 years, I have walked away and demanded a different doctor. And CJ, I guess you are lucky, fortunate, whatever word we want to use, because if I do that here, they'll say yes, and then if I plumb a couple of questions, if I drill down two questions in, I'll find out they're freaking snake handlers, and then I don't get to ask for a different doctor. That's my world. And you wouldn't want to live in it. Ron and Raleigh, also with the background on Dr. Ben Carson. He is a pediatric neurosurgeon. He's one of those Negroes, once he separates from his community, actively starts to hate them. A self-hating Negro, if you will. He is Clarence... There we go! Perfect! Bingo! Toaster! Tonight's toaster goes to Ron and Raleigh. Dr. Ben Carson is Clarence Thomas in Scrubs. Mr. Stress, Bill from Cleveland, says, the Bataan Death March. Not as bad as Obamacare. Michael in Sebastopol says, you touched on it. 40 million uninsured, 40,000 dead each year. Not as bad as Obamacare. Marty noting, St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Not as bad as Obamacare. The internment of the Japanese after Pearl Harbor. Not as bad as Obamacare. And Mr. Stress, Bill in Cleveland, who is so good with historical perspective, reminds us that the idea for G-Hog bullets ain't new. Hog-greased bullets were also used during the 1890s Philippine insurrection. Marty noting, going back to the TGI Fridays story, I suppose the TGI Fridays customer could have merely been a vegetarian or a vegan. Wouldn't a vegetarian also request the bacon bits to be removed from a salad? Yes, entirely true, but she probably wouldn't have had the headgear. That was what the TGI Fridays asshole was apparently going by. And a reminder, if I've got one person on hold on or waiting to come on the Skype line and you call in, I can't bring a second person on just yet. So if you've been trying to reach on the Skype line, you are now free to attempt to do so again. Jan and Jerry in Nevada. W and Count Dicula, were they worse than Obamacare? Nope, nothing is worse than Obamacare. And by extension, since Obamacare is the worst thing since slavery, that means that Obamacare and slavery are equally bad. Yeah, let that one roll around for a little bit. And sooner or later, we have to, I'm sure everybody and their cousin who does this kind of stuff has talked about this by now, but you know what went down over the weekend? You know the teabaggers and the folks who originally set up this rally, this veterans rally for war memorials and monuments, were apparently not teabaggers, but they got co-opted. Think Progress reporting that, in fact, Aviva Shen writes, after driving the GOP's efforts to shut down the government over Obamacare, Senators Ted Cruz and Mike Lee headlined a march on Sunday, you know about this already, to protest the closure of national parks and war memorials. Oddly enough, they were not protesting the closure of the Centers for Disease Control. They were not protesting the closure of the Mine Safety and Health Administration, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, NASA, the National National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. No, none of that. So there was a march on Sunday that they co-opted. The original organizers of the Veterans March are pissed. It was to be called the Million Vet March. And they say now, the political agenda put forth by a local organizer in Washington, D.C. was not in alignment with our message. We feel disheartened that some would seek to hijack the narrative for political gain. The core principle is about all Americans honoring veterans in a peaceful and apolitical manner. Well, that ain't how it wound up. Oh, no, no, no. Because, yeah, Ted Cruz showed up, and Mike Lee showed up, and weirdos with Gadsden flags showed up, and at one point in time, they gathered up the little metal barricade units, and they carried them to the White House and threw them at the White House fence and unfurled their Confederate flags. Yep. They did. Really and for truly, they did. All right, it appears that Tracy's trying to get into the conversation. Do we have you, Tracy? 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 Stand by. Try again. Are you there, Tracy? Nope. Okay. So we know now. I mean, how much more? How much more has to happen? They have shown us their true colors. They unfurled it on Sunday. It is, in fact, the Confederate battle flag. They have treason in their hearts, and they intend to, and they, well... Question coming in for Steve. Is Obama worse than Obamacare? Well, that's like asking if Hitler is worse than Hitler care. See how it works. Jeremy adding, Columbus bringing his fraudulent, pasty, white ass here to discover what had already been populated. Not as bad as Obamacare, but remember, we have to work with since slavery, Jeremy. Since slavery. Like, for instance, the firebombing of Dresden. Not as bad as Obamacare. The American use of nuclear weapons on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Not as bad as Obamacare. You see? Yeah. I mean, there's dozens of them. We could go all night on what is not worse, according to Dr. Ben Carson, the things that are not as bad as Obamacare. The slaughter of prisoners of war, American prisoners of war, in the snow at the siege of Bastogne. Not as bad as Obamacare. The hellish march back from Chosin Reservoir. Not as bad as Obamacare. How about this? The Birmingham church bombing. Not as bad as Obamacare. The shooting of Medgar Evers. Not as bad as Obamacare. The murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Not as bad as Obamacare. the murder of Bobby Kennedy, not as bad as Obamacare. The assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, not as bad as Obamacare. See how it works? Yeah. The attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan, not as bad as Obamacare. Nothing since slavery is as bad as Obamacare. I know, I've got a couple of emails now. You've told me that he was a brilliant neurosurgeon. Apparently the corkscrew-shaped little worms in his brain have been at work, because he might have been once upon a time, but I wouldn't trust him with blunt-ended scissors in his hands now. Kevin in Colorado Springs says, we're going about it all wrong. It should be, name me one thing better than Obamacare. Well, other than single payer. See? I saw what you did there, Kevin. Shannon and Jerry, we should start calling it like it is, the Koch Brothers Tea Party. Which it is. Ron and Raleigh. Bob. And I know that you'd be surprised how many times Ron has to write, Bob. Sometimes I just need a good straightening up. Just because a group of patriotic white Americans unfurl a Confederate battle flag or two doesn't mean they're racists. It's a symbol of pride and heritage. Don't you know? Signed, Ron and Raleigh, P.S. I love post-racial America. Steve says, now wait a minute. What about the trial of the murderers of Matthew Shepard? Not as bad as Obamacare. Squeaky Fromm trying to bump off Gerald Ford. Not as bad as Obamacare. Cuban Missile Crisis. Not as bad as Obamacare. Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama. Not as bad as Obamacare. You'd be surprised to find out. Hurricane Andrew, not as bad as Obamacare. Hurricane Frederick, not as bad as Obamacare. Bay of Pigs, not as bad as Obamacare. It's amazing the number of things that are not as bad as Obamacare. And don't blame me. Dr. Ben Carson, world-famous neurosurgeon, says so. And I mean, he ought to know, right? Love Canal, not as bad as Obamacare. The Upper Big Branch disaster, in which capitalism incinerated 29 human beings past recognition as being former human beings in Raleigh County, West Virginia. Not as bad as Obamacare. The Monongah coal mining disaster of 1907. Not as bad as Obamacare. The Eccles mining disaster of 1929. Not as bad as Obamacare. The Hawk's Nest Tunnel disaster, in which something like 5,000 people died. Not as bad as Obamacare. Stupid prick. Fritz in Arkansas with a question via the Twitters. Is this Dr. Ben Carson aiming for Moran of the Year? We've never given one away, Fritz, but I think his name has certainly been placed in nomination. All All right. Let's see if Tracy's got everything squared away. Are you there, Tracy?
Yeah. I'm already over here.
Tracy.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yay. Okay. So I am just... crazed over this Ben Carson thing because
okay, but I've got it. But I've got another voice in the background there.
Oh.
I'll call you back.
My customer's turning off the.
I'll call you back.
But so I'm really flabbergasted about this whole Ben Carson thing. It hurts my heart because when I heard you say Ben Carson, the name clicked, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's the guy that when he went to medical school, the white people treated him like crap. And all this, and he still went on and became a neurosurgeon and separated Siamese twins and all this. And yet he's still, like somebody said, he is now, well, we forgot about Condoleezza Rice and DeWard Connolly of medicine.
Yeah. That's our man.
You know, so he's the Herman Cain for this at this point in time.
Yeah, or
do they drag one out every 2 years or so?
You know, it's they rotate it. They rotate one through, and if he, you know, if he's really good, they'll. I mean, this goes back to J.C. Watts.
You have to tell me who that is.
He was a quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners, and then wound up being the only black conservative in the House of Representatives. His own father said of him, when asked if he would vote for his son, said that would be like the chicken voting for Colonel Sanders.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So, you get the idea.
That would be like the chicken voting for Colonel...
Yeah, that was his. Oh. That's not me. That's not me making that reference. That was his daddy. His daddy
that's
was
his
a
pops.
Baptist minister or something, and said me voting for my son would be like the... chicken voting for Colonel Sanders.
And see, here I was just had a conversation yesterday about self-loathing, self-hating Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
And it sickens me when I think about this because it's like, why, you guys? They don't like you. I'm not talking white people in general. No. I'm just talking these people with quiver babies and stuff.
Yeah.
Are we going in here?
No.
And see, we've got a whole meme going on here. The chat room's working on it. The Johnstown flood, not as bad as Obamacare. 3 Mile Island, not as bad as Obamacare.
For 77.
I mean, if you just...
Yes, this guy.
I am flabbergasted to the point of just, you know, I just don't get it. I'm trying oh so desperately because it hurts my heart. Like I said, people like Ben Carson, after, you know, and I saw the movie and I know what they show was nowhere near what he went through. And yet and still, he likens Obamacare to slavery.
See, some of this is because of what I call the narrowing and specialization of education. Clearly, Ben Carson was really, really single-mindedly devoted to getting his education and becoming a doctor.
He very much was, like I said, if you saw the movie...
Which I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, because I was all proud of him, chest-bumping proud, you know, when I saw the movie. And now...
Well, but my point is... Obviously, he took biology, he took biochem, he probably took, he took anatomy, he took physiology, he took all those things you got to take if you want to become a world famous doctor, especially a world famous neurosurgeon. But the problem is, and you see this throughout the Republican Party, they love to send right wing doctors to Congress, which is what I'm sure they're planning on doing with Ben Carson.
Oh God.
Okay. And so you wind up with a Paul Brown from Athens, Georgia, declaring that all the science he learned to become a physician were nothing more
it's
than
lie.
Lies from the pits of hell. Yes. And
well,
so
like,
and
you
so
know,
and
like,
but they tend to think, Tracy, and I think this is important, they tend to think that because they have a very expensive, very difficult education, okay, I'm not going to sit here and say med school is easy. No. But the thing is, there's no requirement that you take 400 level American history to become a physician. There's no requirement that you take graduate level political science to become a physician. No, you just, and this has to do with the God complex that attaches to some physicians, you just assume that because you were able to manage the rigors of some very rigorous disciplines, that means that that you are automatically an expert in everything else.
Yeah.
And so he can sit there with no knowledge of history whatsoeffing ever, Tracy.
I see the ship from there.
Okay.
And say that, you know, Obamacare is as bad as slavery, because he has the authority to say it.
Because he went to medical school, because he's a doctor, and therefore he knows that he knows all. And I'm here to tell you, you know, aside from him, I'm not even going to deal with his ass anymore. I love the story that you talked about with the history. And people, like, okay, for me, like, you know, growing up, going to Bible school and stuff like that. And I was confused because, you know, I'm thinking that the Bible was a history book. And it's not. It is not, because there were people here, you know, because I was in the Bible looking for, like, the dinosaurs. and you know, the dinosaurs. And what else was I looking for? Oh, cavemen.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking, because according to everybody else, the Bible was a history book. But it's not.
No, it isn't. I mean, I can remember being little, Tracy, and reading about how Abram, you know, before he got the name change, took his old daddy and his whole family and left Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, and I remember being a little fella thinking, well, that Ur must have been a real cesspit for Abram to have to leave it.
Exactly.
When actually it turns out that he was probably such a noxious human being that the civilized people who lived in Ur probably couldn't stand him anymore, because that was the absolute pinnacle of civilization, Ur was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so these are the things that drive me crazy, as, you know, because I never asked my mother about it, because, you know, she wouldn't have known anything about it back then either. But it's just, okay, wait.
You got to turn around here.
I was like, okay, wait. It's like, how in the world, I mean, like I said, I love the Bible. I read it, but I use it as a guide to who I am. I don't, you know, use it as a history book, because it's not, the world was here before the Bible.
Right. Using the Bible as a guide to daily living is like using, oh, I don't know, let me think here, an illiterate person to explain James Joyce's Ulysses to you.
Right. I don't like Joyce. I can't handle him. So.
Well, everybody says they've read him. Very few have.
No, I try. You know, there's like, you know, the whole conversation with.
Oh, and by the way, just so you'll know, Jude just let me know, Dr. Ben is a close friend of none other than Pat Robertson. She says I've seen their interchanges on Pat's program. She says he's a Dominionist and only clocked in education.
I think I just threw up a little in my mouth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, birds of a grifty feather flock together. So there you go.
It was wonderful talking to you, Bob, because I'm trying so desperately not to be confused, but Jesus.
There's the ship right over there.
Yeah,
so
I
don't get it. But anyway, you guys, you know, I know you got to close up the show, but oh my God.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a ship to find too.
Yeah, we're roaming the streets of Long Beach looking for a goddamn ship. If you hear about me screaming, going, don't, you know, if I drive to the water, we'll know.
Yeah, hate of the fairs. We'll talk to you later.
I just had to tell you, he really enjoyed your show, so there you go.
Well, awesome. Hi, guys.
There you go. Hi. So anyway, baby, we'll talk later, and you have a great, oh, and a blessed day, shall you?
Oh, you know it. We'll see you, Tracy.
Okay.
Bye now. Tracy, the lady cab driver, and a little slice of life out there wandering the streets of Long Beach in search of a ship. Where else are you going to get that? I mean, really. So thanks, Jude, and thanks, Sal. Sal kicked in after Jude. Thank you, Sal. You are a pillar, and Jude is a pillar. And thank you, Anthony. Thank you all for helping keep all of this going. We are all deeply thankful for all that everyone does to make this happen. It's time to pretty much roll out of here. Tomorrow, Titanic Tuesday, so I hope you'll be along for that ride. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go, you with your kind contributions, you with the time that you contribute to share your ideas, and even the time that you contribute not even writing or saying anything, but just sitting there and processing the information, because, you know, you're part of the refusal that will not let this dream of self-government, which has never been perfected, die. And that's important. Don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot where self-government was at least for some time thought, and it weren't no Camelot. It was us. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHECT.org, ACHEACT.org. Hopefully, at some point, the government will come unstuck and we'll be able to get some more work done on ending the Appalachian apocalypse. By the way, 4,000 dead hillbillies per year. Not as bad as Obamacare. Thanks, Dr. Carson. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next on The Horn. Bye.